Hey everyone, it's the Kung Fu Genius, aka Alex Richter, and we have a new deal for Kung Fu Genius fans. If you go to citywt.com, you can buy any two of our apparel and get one free, and that includes the new City Wing Chun gym shirt like the one I'm wearing in the new color. Any apparel, you buy two, you get one free. Just go to citywt.com and use the code KFGB2G1. That's KFGB2G1. Use that code at CDWT to get one free apparel with your purchase of two of anything, t-shirts, all that good stuff. And before we get started, if you could do me a favor and don't forget to like this video, comment on it, share it on social media, help us get the word out there. That's a tremendous help. And if you listen to us on audio, don't forget to review the podcast wherever you listen to it. And with that, let's get started.
All right, peeps, on today's episode of The Kung Fu Genius, the genius will discuss fitness and conditioning in Wing Chun Kung Fu. Lots of gems, lots of war bags, lots of, I don't want to get bulky and stiff if I lift weights, man. Let's get to it.
He is unstoppable, unbeatable, unbelievable. He's Alex Richter, the Kung Fu Genius.
And every day, I practice martial arts. Watch out.
Word is, I'm a Kung Fu Genius. Practice all day like a genius.
Yo, how you doing, Dre?
I'm good.
So I figured we do a little something different, right? We are now getting, this is our 19th episode of the Kung Fu Genius.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing, right?
We started just yesterday with this.
Yeah, exactly, right? It's gone by so fast, and we've tried a bunch of different topics, kind of seeing what's out there. So far, it seems that what people like are the Ask Me Anything episodes, because they're like a nice mixed bag, you know? They ask a bunch of different questions, and within one episode, you know, we talk about 20 different topics, right? And
people get their shout-outs with that, too.
Yeah, and they get their shout-outs. I think that's why they like it. Yeah. And also, inevitably, in each of those, like, two episodes we've done so far, there's always just one or two questions that are just so off the rails, right? So it's also really fun to do that. And quite honestly, those are the easiest for us to do because we don't have
straight
to do
through
any pre-planning. We just, you know, I even like it if I don't know the questions in advance because then you get the kind of the raw KFG stuff, right? One of the questions that we get kind of peppered throughout both in Instagram and YouTube is people ask a little bit about, you know, fitness and conditioning and strength training in martial arts, what I do, what I recommend and stuff. Mm-hmm. So I thought, why don't we try to do one episode where we talk about that a little bit?
Okay.
And then, you know, we can go from there and see if only three people watch this episode.
So there
then we
is
know.
Fitness and conditioning in Wing Chun.
Well, there is, you know, and unfortunately, Wing Chun suffers a little bit from that trope of, well, you don't need to be athletic to do Wing Chun, or you don't need to be particularly strong or whatever. And that is true to a certain degree. Like, Wing Chun is a martial art that anybody can do. You don't have to be a certain body type to be able to do it. But I think the idea that you don't have to have any strength or any physical fitness or any level of flexibility and still be relatively successful as a martial artist, I think that it's very difficult. I mean, why do I have to defend that kind of platform? It makes absolutely no sense to be like, no, you can be really top tier in martial arts as long as you do Wing Chun with being completely lazy, having no strength training regimen, having no flexibility, having no conditioning, right?
Well, I learned that pretty quick training here with my Sihangs and seeing that, I gotta step it up sparring with these guys.
Sure. Absolutely.
It's not happening.
I mean, one, it depends on the type of school, right? Sometimes I look at some Wing Chun schools, whether it's in Hong Kong or in the U.S., and you look at the way they train, and most of the classes, the Sifu's standing up there talking for an hour and either talking about how terrible all the other Wing Chun styles are, or they stand there and they go, here, I want you to feel my structure. Put your hand on my bong sao, now push. See, and I'm moving my, you know, my mindfulness towards your center and all this kind of stuff. And then it becomes like an hour TED talk about how you focus on mindfulness and people can't push you over and how that's going to. And it's like, whatever happened to just martial arts training? Like, we're going to throw punches and kicks at each other and solve that as a problem, right? And sometimes I think that Wing Chun and some Chinese martial arts in general, they get so caught up in like the idea of how intelligent the ideas that we do are, or how you know we can root our stance and do all this kind of great stuff, that you forget Yeah, but on the street, some dude's just going to take a swing for your face, all right? He's not, or she's not, going to put her hand on your forearm, let you sink your qua into the third meridian of the dantian, and you're going to feel where that goes, and they're going to push you, and they can't push you at all, and then you're going to use your, you know, fa geng or fa jin if you're speaking Mandarin, which I don't know why Wing Chun people use Mandarin terms, but... And you're going to push them and they're going to go flying 10 feet away. And even though you didn't hit them or submit them or whatever, they're going to be so impressed by how far you were able to hit them away through your forearm that they're going to be dissuaded to continue fighting you, right?
Isn't that true kung fu?
Well, that's what a lot of kung fu people think is true kung fu. And unfortunately, I think that is part of the image problem. And I'm not going to speak for other kung fu because I get enough heat speaking for Wing Chun in general, although I'm really only speaking about my own line of Wing Chun. So like I say in my books, if it sounds like I'm ranting, I probably am, but it's aimed at my own lineage, right? Because I'm sure whatever is wrong in the lineage that I come from, I'm sure your lineage has that problem completely solved, right? Because everyone else has it wrong and only your own lineage is the only one that does it right, right? So, of course, if I say anything that seems, critical of Wing Chun. Well, I'm only speaking about myself. I clearly don't mean your magical unicorn Wing Chun style that has no problems and is the perfect religion and lineage that solves all problems. But anyway, but I digest or digress. I can never remember. So of course, Kung Fu in general has that problem, right? That, you're going to rely on all of these super magnificent internal body mechanics, and that's going to solve the problem of GSP taking you to the floor and Mike Tyson giving you a left hook, right?
You know, it's funny. Growing up, I didn't know the translation of Kung Fu until I got here.
Right.
I always thought it was fighting.
Right. Yeah, exactly, right?
It's fighting. Guys fighting.
Or like it was sometimes told in the 70s, Kung Fu is Chinese karate, right?
Yeah,
which is
exactly.
Like the most insulting way to define it. The term to use Kung Fu to describe Chinese martial arts is a little bit more of a southern Chinese thing.
Mm.
And that came about, of course, depends who you ask. But it's really relatively recent that they called it Kung Fu, and it was called Kung Fu primarily in the South. Of course, Northern martial arts styles have, in the meantime, adopted that same term. And Kung Fu literally means your achievement through hard work and effort. You know, how good your Kung Fu is directly related to how much you practiced, your experience, how long you've done it. But you can, in theory, have Kung Fu in anything that you pursue.
Anything.
Yeah, it can be martial arts.
That was mind-blowing.
Yeah, it can be, you know, golfing, whatever it is, right? But it has now
cooking.
Essentially become, 100%. As a matter of fact, whenever you go to a Chinese restaurant, especially more Cantonese style, on the table, they normally have the chef's recommendations. And in Chinese, the chef, they call the sifu, right? So it's like the sifu's recommendations, right?
That's dope.
Because a sifu is an expert in any blue-collar field. It's not like Kung Fu. It's not specifically only for martial arts, right? But obviously, the term sifu and the term Kung Fu are mostly associated with martial arts, right? So it's really about how hard you train and your effort, right? So along the way, because Wing Chun, for example, doesn't throw high kicks and we don't have any kind of acrobatic movements, which you tend only to see in Northern styles anyway, there came the kind of more modern marketing trope of, well, you don't need to be particularly fit or you don't need to be super agile or flexible or strong or whatever to do it. And what you see across a lot of sifus here in the States is, quite frankly, you see a lot of out-of-shape sifus. And I'm definitely a believer of, fitness is very contextual, right? And you have different people have different body types. So you have people who are bulkier and people who are leaner and people who are more sinewy and people who are more muscular. So they're different, you know, fit in depending on your body type might look a little bit different, and also depends on your own personal preferences, right? Someone might like to have more muscles. Some people might like to be a little bit more lean. There's not one body type where you say like that's the ideal for Wing Chun or that is the ideal of what it means to be fit for Wing Chun. They're different body types, and that's okay. But what I'm really talking about is you really just see some sifus in Wing Chun who are just straight out of shape. And I don't mean like they don't have to have a six pack. They don't have to have this. I mean, like, you can look at them And you can tell these people don't really train hard. Wow. All right. These are they sit behind a desk for 8 hours and they just happen to be doing Wing Chun for, I should say, they started doing Wing Chun many years ago. That's why they're an instructor. Yeah. They're a Sifu. But if you were actually to look at the hours that they put in, this is really not the same as anyone who took any other martial arts seriously, right? And so, and they're the first ones to say, oh, you don't need to be particularly fit to do Wing Chun. And just to be honest, that shit really angers me, okay? Mm-hmm. Because think about it. Let's say Wing Chun, let's just go with the premise that Wing Chun is a style of which you can be effective in self-defense or fighting or whatever you want to call it without being particularly strong or having a high level of cardiovascular conditioning or being super flexible, okay? Let's just take that at face value. You can defend yourself competently against a reasonable attacker without being super fit or whatever, right? Well, wouldn't it also go, couldn't you also reason that you have this awesome style and if you are also fit, and have good cardiovascular conditioning, flexibility, strength, and power, that you could do that style even better?
Yeah.
Right? And so that seems to be the thing that's always missing. Well, it's like, well, if this out-of-shape Sifu is telling me I don't need to be in shape to do Wing Chun, well, what if I learned all of his or her techniques and then also got in shape? Would I not then have a chance to be at a higher level than this person, right? And I also find it a little strange because that was not particularly the way the style was originally developed, right? Now, of course, we don't really know the exact story about how Wing Chun was developed. If you want to believe the story of the nun or you want to believe that it comes solely from the Red Boat opera period and it was developed as a cross-pollination of different styles or whatever it is, you have to realize that the average person in the Qing Dynasty that practiced martial arts was in shape, okay?
Like farmers.
I mean, first of all, If you weren't royalty,
okay,
you had to work hard to not die.
Okay.
Okay.
Right.
Like
right.
Life was a hustle back in the Qing Dynasty. Ooh. Okay. And if you look at photos, because there are some photos of the late Qing Dynasty, like the late 1800s, where you already start to have some photographs, and you look, you can find like photos of men from the late Qing Dynasty. An average dude was in shape. So if you imagine, if that was the selling point for Wing Chun back then, and of course there were no commercial Wing Chun schools back then, but let's pretend.
Yeah.
And you say you don't need to be particularly fit or whatever to do Wing Chun well. Well, the average person had a baseline of fitness and strength and mobility that probably the modern man does not have, mm-hmm. All right? Who, you know, that just has a job 8 hours a day behind a desk or nowadays at home on Zoom while stuffing your face with chips or whatever, right? So you have to imagine that even if that were the original marketing call of Wing Chun, the average person in the Qing Dynasty, you know, if they worked on a farm or they had any type of job, I mean, they were doing manual labor, so they were able to pick things up. They had mobility. They could do a full squat all the way down with their heels flat on the floor. Yeah. They had a lot of markers that nowadays fitness experts say you need to be able to have this level of mobility and strength and whatever. That was probably standard for the average person who wasn't particularly strongly built back then. So we have to imagine that when the style was developed, these were people who were in shape.
Yeah.
So if you say relative to them, you don't need to be in shape. Yeah, this is among people who are already in shape, not among the out of shape modern, let's say, American man. And not saying, you're the baseline, you don't need to do shit, and you'll be good in Wing Chun.
Oh, man.
So I think that's the problem, right? Thinking that is the equivalent of the people who are around back then. And so, obviously, fitness is contextual, and it's something a little bit different for everyone. When people join a Wing Chun school, they come from all different backgrounds, right? And again, everything I say, I'm obviously relating this to my own school and my own experience, but I'm pretty sure a lot of these things are applicable for people who practice other kung fu styles or whatever. But I'm just going to kind of keep it in my wheelhouse, right? So that people don't get upset. Well, in our style, we make people do push-ups for 2 years before they even learn the first form. Okay,
wow.
then you're awesome and we're stupid, okay? All right? Like the problem is that, like, you can make no general statements because there's so many different schools that are so different, right? But when we look at, like, when people come to Wing Chun, some people, we teach mostly adults. They come to us, they haven't done any fitness training in their entire lives. Yeah. Other people, have only done fitness training. They've only done gym stuff and never did martial arts. Other people have done tons of martial arts training and no fitness. Other people have done martial arts training and fitness. Yeah. And other people are all actors walks. Who want to put this on their resume that yeah. they know Wing Chun, right? So when they come to City Wing Chun, yeah. you know, you get like kind of a mixed bag. So that's why it's very difficult to say, well, this is what everyone needs to be able to do at first. Because for people who have a fitness background, some of those things might seem too simple. And for people who haven't done anything their entire lives, and come to Wing Chun at age 40, having done nothing, mm-hmm. some of that stuff might be too much, right? So it's very important before I discuss like the things that people probably should do when they at least start learning a martial art like Wing Chun. Again, it's a very broad paintbrush, yeah. and they're obviously going to be outliers and exceptions on both ends of the spectrum, yeah. right?
Back in the day, they were doing Wing Chun because they didn't particularly need it for fitness. They needed it for other reasons.
Exactly. Right. Or they did it because their uncle or their father yeah. happened to be a master and they're expected to be able to learn it, right? So you have that kind of familial pressure there, right? So again, and I want to say like, look, I teach Wing Chun Kung Fu. I've been doing it for 20 years. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a physical therapist or whatever. So, you know, when people are listening to my advice, take it for what it is, right?
Yeah.
The beautiful thing we have is now with YouTube, there's a lot of really great resources online in terms of like fitness and conditioning and strength and stretching and all sorts of stuff. But the problem is it's also a lot of bullshit because you have fitness influencers, you know, these 19-year-old kids who are like jacked on all sorts of juice telling you, oh, you all just need juice. To take this protein supplement and you're going to look like me. It's like, nah, you need to take that protein yeah. supplement and a bunch of Tren and a bunch of other stuff and you need to inject a bunch of stuff there, and then maybe you'll look like that 19-year-old, right? So the problem is that they're perpetuating an image that's not realistic, right? And also the question is, if you're practicing martial arts, what type of strength training, what type of physical fitness regimen do you need? Because obviously you don't want to train like a bodybuilder, mm-hmm. right? Because you want to have, let's say, a more functional physique. But that doesn't mean that bodybuilding stuff has absolutely no application to strength training in general in martial arts and other physical sports, right?
Okay.
So, you know, this whole idea of functional fitness, people are like, oh, I can only throw sandbags and do stuff like I do at CrossFit and then it's functional. But if I do a bicep curl, that's bodybuilding and that's not going to help me, right? And that's also kind of dated. You know, it's all, like I say, it's always very, like, very contextual, right? And, you know, what people need for their, like, you know, personal hobby is also very different, right? I want to talk about, like, kind of a couple... First, talk about like five basic tips that I kind of recommend to everyone when they're starting out, right? And then we can talk a little bit about how those things might be, you know, applied in a little bit more detail, right? So my first tip is actually, and not everyone is going to like hearing this. And again, if you don't like all five of my tips and you only take two or three of them, okay. I'm sure it's going to help you. You don't have to take all five, right? Because people hear stuff like, oh, these are the five tips. And if I can only do four, I'm a failure and I'll stop doing all of them, right? It's like, no. Take a little bit of information from me, take a little bit of information from this guy, that guy, and then, you know, you put it together and then you know, absorb what is useful, reject what is yeah. useless, and add what is specifically your own.
There you go.
Said by Bruce Lee. Sorry, Dan Inosanto. Okay, so tip number one, all right? I recommend a morning routine, all right? Now, yeah. I'm not a morning person, so I should say this.
You're not a morning person.
Not really, all right? Until I had my first coffee... You don't even want to talk to me in the morning. When I get up for that first 15 minutes, my wife is great. My coffee's ready like in 15 minutes after I wake up. Okay. All right. But in those 15 minutes before coffee, I'm not the Kung Fu genius, man.
Oh, no.
I'm just some cranky old SOB.
So it takes you about 15 minutes
to
wake up.
It's whenever until I have that first coffee. All right. If it's 5 minutes, it's 5 minutes. 15 minutes. If I don't get that coffee for an hour... Don't even come near me. Don't even ask me anything. All right? Useless. All right? So if you don't want to call it a morning routine, let's just say a wake up routine. Okay. All right? And I realize it seems kind of hokey and kind of simple and kind of like, okay, like something you put on me. I'm 100% dead serious about this. Okay? I have been teaching for 20 years and sometimes I teach students earlier in the morning. Like I'll have a private lesson early in the morning. And I know this, and maybe it's anecdotal because it's just me, but if I get up in the morning and I just have my breakfast and my coffee, and then I go to the school and I teach that lesson, all right? I can teach a lesson no problem because I've been doing it for so long, it's almost like autopilot.
Yeah.
But if I get up in the morning and I do like a joint warm up, I warm up my joints head to toe. You start with the ankles and knees and hips, and you know your back and your shoulders and your arms and your neck, and you move around and you get your body moving a little bit, and then I go in and do the lesson. I feel so much more coordinated and so much more even powerful in my ability to do stuff than I do if I didn't even, and I'm talking about you take 5 minutes to warm up your joints head to toe before you go out the door, and then your performance in whether it's teaching or practicing martial arts is going to be so much better because you've waken up your nervous system for the day, right? Okay. So it's so much so that if I miss my morning routine, which is very rare, and I have to go in and see, I can feel like I feel a little bit more flat when I move and I don't quite feel the same. So I've institutionalized having a morning routine or wake up routine. Now, for me, it's different because I'm very Taoist when it comes to my routine. You can't say I'm going to get up every morning and do 100 push-ups and 100 squats and 100 this, because quite honestly, and I'm a very motivated person. You know how I work out. I work out like a maniac. I mean, not now. My shoulder's healing up from shoulder surgery.
Okay.
It's actually killing me that I can't work out. I haven't had a real workout in 3 weeks, and I'm like jonesing right now, right? But I'm on the bike every day, so I'm still getting my cardio in. But even me, and I'm highly motivated, my motivation is not the same every morning. But the same is my discipline to do it. That's why you cannot rely on motivation. You have to have the discipline to say, I'm going to do it whether I want to or not. But what I do to give myself a little bit of balance is, I say, I'm going to have a morning routine every morning, but I don't say what it is. Because some days I get up and I feel full of energy, and then what do? I do like a full head-to-toe joint warm-up. I do dynamic kicking. Mm-hmm. I do the Wing Chun warm-up, and I do the Siunam Tao form. And my morning routine that morning is 30 minutes, and that morning routine is like a workout for most people, right? But the next day I get up and I feel a little lower energy, or maybe I just don't have time. And I just do like a head-to-toe joint warm-up, and maybe I do some stretches. 5 minutes that morning.
Yeah.
But still, the benefit, my nervous system is awake. I go through the day feeling much better, much more coordinated, right? So it doesn't really matter what you do. It can be form. It can be a warm-up. It could be push-ups. It could be whatever. I don't like to do anything hardcore in the morning. I like to be very gentle when I wake up. But other people, my old training partner in Germany, Mike, whom I've talked about a number of times, he had this thing at least for like 6 months or so. When he woke up first thing in the morning, he rolled out and he did push-ups. And I think he started like with 20. And then every day he would add one more than the day before.
Okay.
And until he was like, it's an insane number, until some point it just wasn't tenable, right? But that's like what he did for a while. Mind you, we were also in our early 20s, okay?
Yeah. So,
but the idea is that it doesn't really matter. You do something. Some people like push-ups and squats and heavy stuff in the morning and they like to work out. I like to wake up the body. And part of what reinforced that habit, and you know this because you've been with me, is going to Hong Kong.
Okay.
Because first of all, anyone who's been to Hong Kong, you know that in the parks in the morning, you have all the elderly people in there doing Tai Chi. I really wish that was something that Americans would do, like especially elderly ones. Like you get up, and it doesn't matter because when you go to the park, you see some people are doing Tai Chi.
Yeah.
Some of the grannies are just doing like dancing. They're using fans. They're doing calisthenics. They're doing whatever, right? But they're doing something. The older guys are doing pull-ups and things like that. But it's like this thing. You get up in the morning and you exercise, and then you go and you have your breakfast. And then you could see that they're maintaining their mobility and everything like that. Their mind stays sharp, right? And because Hong Kong has a 12-hour time difference to New York,
right?
It's exactly flipped on its end. So it's 9 in the morning here. It's 9 p.m. at night there. So when we go to Hong Kong, like your entire day is flipped, right? And for that reason, we end up getting up much earlier, right? Like I rarely get up at 6 a.m. or before. Hong Kong, I'm like, it doesn't matter if I go to bed at 1 or 2. I'm up at 6 a.m. in Hong Kong. I'm like, I'm ready to go. And I'll go there, and that helps with the jet lag. And those constant trips to Hong Kong and having that morning routine has reinforced having a morning routine here. And so my tip number one is have a wake-up routine or morning routine. If you wake up at 1 p.m. or whatever, call it a wake-up routine. But you got to have it. And it can be whatever you feel like doing that day. Now, my second tip is, and this again is for, I'm assuming people are practicing Wing Chun and they go to class at least 2 to 3 times a week, right? my advice, if you're going, if you're a brand new beginner, the last thing you want to do is say, okay, I just joined a Wing Chun school. I just joined a Wing Chun class. And now I need to have a full bore fitness regimen. No. If you just started learning Wing Chun, do more Wing Chun. Get good at that first, because anytime your body makes an, anytime you have a big change to your routine, doesn't matter what it is. You've been working 8 hours a day for years, and now suddenly you're going to a Wing Chun class 2 to 3 times a week. It might not seem like a lot, but that's already a big change for your body. You're going to notice that you're going to get fitter. You're going to lose weight. You're going to feel a lot of health benefits very quickly, because it's kind of what they call newbie gains, right? Yes. Especially if you haven't done anything before, right? That's why so many new students, gains. It doesn't matter what you do. You know, people always talk about, oh, I had this great transformation. Yeah, if you go from doing nothing to doing something, it doesn't even really matter what that something is. You're going to have a change in your body, right? So allow that to happen first before you go, oh, I need to do all the, I just joined a Wing Chun school. Now I need to do all this fitness stuff. No. Do more Wing Chun, because you have plenty of stuff to learn in Wing Chun without adding push-ups and pull-ups and a full bro split on top of that, right? Okay, so do more Wing Chun, all right? Everything. So let's assume that you've been doing Wing Chun for a few months. You're in a routine. Mm-hmm. Maybe your newbie benefits have leveled off. You lost that initial amount of weight that you did from starting the Wing Chun class, and you're not losing any more weight, or you're not getting any fitter. So you've kind of plateaued. Okay, so now is the time we can start to add a supplementary routine. And I would recommend 2 to 3 times a week doing some non-Wing Chun fitness stuff, all right? Now, it can be stuff, obviously, it's going to improve your Wing Chun, but it can be plain Jane normal gym stuff, all right? The idea that everything you have to do is to be functional and perfectly catered to your Wing Chun, the body makes a lot of adaptations. And here's why I recommend doing general fitness over, let's say, you know, because some people will be like, oh, I only want to squat in a certain way that mimics the angle of the Wing Chun kick. Well, that's great. All right. But here's the problem. If all you do is Wing Chun, which admittedly has a very specific and narrow band of movement because it's about function in fighting and fighting in a certain way, it's to the detriment of moving in all the different planes that you don't move in when you do Wing Chun. Right. Mm. So, for example, we don't have we don't have a lot of movements that go to the side, with the exception of a couple movements in the forearms, but normally in fighting, everything is kind of in front of you. So it might behoove you in your fitness regimen to do some stuff where your arm is at the side, to do some stuff where your arm is overhead, okay, to put your legs and arms in angles of movement that you don't have in Wing Chun, for a couple reasons. If you only train Wing Chun-based strength training and Wing Chun stuff, you'll be really, really strong in those planes of movement, and most likely disproportionately weak in any other plane of movement that's not Wing Chun, which is why you actually have a chance to get more injured. Mm. If you want to become anti-fragile, you want to become stronger, then it's a good idea to train your body in ways that are slightly outside of your sport, because that way, if you suddenly find yourself in that position, your body is not unfamiliar with it. Your tendons, your ligaments, your muscles, they know how to handle that plane of movement, and they're not going to snap. Okay. But if all you train is everything in a sagittal plane, you only do, let's say, presses with your elbow in because it mimics the Wing Chun punch. Yeah, well, guess what? If your arm is out there and someone pulls it down, you're not going to have that odd angle strength. So that's the reason why I would recommend that a fitness regimen not be Wing Chun specific, because you're already getting your Wing Chun based strength training through your Wing Chun class. You hit the wall bag. You should probably hit a heavy bag. You should probably be kicking and punching something in your Wing Chun class, and through doing Chi Sao and sparring, you're strengthening those planes of movement and obviously the form and all those things. So if you do supplementary fitness training 2 to 3 times a week, do something that doesn't necessarily look like Wing Chun, which is, quite frankly, is normal fitness stuff.
Normal fitness,
you know,
stuff.
Lift some light weights, whatever, do some different things. So my recommendation is 2 to 3 times a week for some kind of general fitness training, things that will improve your body in general, which will also improve your Wing Chun, right?
Okay.
So again, but like if you're brand new to it, then still do Wing Chun first before you start doing this, right? It's only when you start feeling that you're plateauing that I would recommend that you, you know, then you start adding that stuff, right?
Good so, to be normal sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely, right? And so, which kind of brings me to like a side point, right? Because for the longest time, you know, the idea that if you lift weights or you do physical fitness, you're going to become stiff or you're going to become muscle bound or whatever. This is one of the biggest hearsays in martial arts.
That's so, my problem. I don't want to lift too much.
Yeah, well, that's what...
I don't want to become muscle bound like
that. Yeah, but here's the thing. I can tell you by your body type.
Yeah.
All right? You could lift all the weights, all right? You're not going to be Arnold Schwarzenegger in 6 months, all right?
Sorry
first of all,
sorry.
Yeah, sorry to disappoint you, right? What people don't realize, and sometimes someone on Twitter, they were talking about this recently, a girl on Twitter, I forget her name, she posted like, oh, she lifts weights, and guys always tell her like, oh, don't lift weights because you can be totally muscle bound. And she said, oh, just the fact that they tell me that makes me want to lift weights more, right? But here's the joke about that, right? Muscle... is if you're not taking, you know, the extra horsey sauce, mm-hmm. and even if you are, not everyone adapts the same way to taking the extra horsey sauce, right? Assuming you're not taking horsey sauce, I can tell you this, you know, because we worked out together. Yes. It's very difficult to gain muscle out once you pass those newbie gains, right? You haven't done anything, you start lifting weights or you start doing strength training. You're all your gains are at the beginning and then you kind of level off, right? Mm-hmm. And then it becomes harder and harder at that point to continually add muscle, right? It's metabolically expensive for your body to hold on to muscle. Your body really doesn't want to hold on to muscle because it has to feed
taxing.
It, right?
Yeah.
It has to feed it and your body is like, why do we have all this extra muscle mass? The moment you're not training or using it, it's going to strip it away. And I could tell... it's been 3 weeks since I had my shoulder surgery. And, you know, I normally do my physical fitness, strength training, conditioning 3 to 4 times a week on top of doing my cardio. And in the 3 weeks since I had my shoulder surgery, I literally cannot work out at all.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, my right arm has atrophied. Like, almost all the definition is like your body goes, oh, you're not going to use it?
Yeah.
See you later, right? Right. I feel like you ever see those crabs that have one big claw and one tiny one because they got a claw ripped off and the new one is growing in?
Uh-huh.
I feel like that, right? Yeah. Like my left arm is strong and my right arm is like a vestigial limb, right?
Yeah.
And because, again, your body, the moment you're not putting that regular load on your muscle and your nervous system, it goes, okay, we don't need it. It's metabolically expensive to hold on to it. So the idea that if you just start lifting weights, you start 3-4 times a week, even using dumbbells, or maybe you lift something heavier, suddenly you're going to look like Arnold Schwarzenegger is ridiculous. Okay, first of all, you had to take all the sauce to look like Arnold Schwarzenegger. Two, you have to have the genetics of Arnold Schwarzenegger. And three, even though he had the genetics and he had the sauce, okay? Have you ever seen how hard he trained? No one is training like this, okay? All right, and I would say even if you did, you're not going to put on the muscle. So this idea that you're going to start lifting weights and suddenly you're going to be so muscle-bound you can't bring your elbow in and do Fuxiao, or your chest is so big you can't chain punch anymore, this is total nonsense, okay? Mm. This is not going to happen, all right? Yeah, of course, there's certain things like maybe you don't want to make the outside of your chest super big because it might make it harder to bring your elbow in. I know this because we have, you know, professional bodybuilders who train here, right? But if you already can bring your elbow in and you're practicing Wing Chun regularly and you add a strength training regimen, but you're still doing your Qi Sao, so you still go back and you're still using that plane of movement, you're not going to suddenly come in one day, but I can't bring my elbows in anymore because I bench pressed too much. All right. So that whole thing that you're going to become muscle bound. Right. And even, you know, Sifu Leung Ting kind of warned against it, you know, in a lot of his books. He said, oh, you only want to train your so-called extensor muscles, things like your lats and your triceps, because those are the muscles that are really involved in punching. Well, he's right in that you don't just want to train your bicep. Okay, you definitely want to train the muscles you use, but the problem is if you just train your tricep and your lats and you don't train your bicep at all, you can have a lot of imbalances in your musculature, right? So, you know, you're not going to be muscle bound by just doing a regular weight training, you know, session, right?
Looking
that's kind of
weird.
kind of a bit of like an old... a bit of an old wives' tale, right?
Yeah.
And I'll talk about that a little bit more too, but let's go to the third tip.
Okay.
We have a tremendous resource nowadays with YouTube. So I am not a fitness expert, all right? I am a Wing Chun expert, if you can even call me that, right? With a, with a side interest in Kung Fu in general and a couple other side interests like Kung Fu movies and ninja movies of the 80s and so on and so forth, right? But there are a lot of people on YouTube who are actual experts in, you know, strength training, physiology, and so on. And I want to recommend kind of some of my favorites, right?
Okay.
So I know he's a bodybuilder, and people get upset, like, hey, bodybuilding's not Wing Chun, those guys are muscle bound. Yeah, but the information that he gives is great. Greg Doucette on the Greg Doucette channel, Coach Greg.
He's a funny dude.
He's super funny. He sounds like Gilbert Gottfried.
He does all right. sound yells like into Gilbert the camera, Godfrey. Right?
Okay. Sometimes he spits.
Total Gilbert Gottfried all over the place.
Sometimes he spits, and when he talks, he gets a bit, but he's got a master's degree in kinesiology. The dude knows what he's talking about. He's
passionate.
You know, he was a professional. I believe he still competed recently, you know, bodybuilder. But he also has powerlifting records as well. So he also understands about quote unquote functional strength as well as bodybuilding. And he's a hardcore believer in cardio, which a lot of bodybuilders for some reason don't do. So if you really want well-balanced information, he's not going to tell you how to become a bodybuilder. He's going to tell you how to stay fit. He comes out with like 2-3 videos a day. His YouTube channel is amazing. All right. And I would definitely recommend following him because his advice is top notch.
Okay.
So this Greg Doucette, there's another guy, James Linker, Shredded Sports Science.
He's never heard of him.
Yeah, he's another Brit, kind of like our sound guy. And his channel is funny. He kind of takes a lot. He jabs, and I should say he takes aim at a lot of those fitness influencers who spew a lot of fitness bullshit.
Yeah.
But he also breaks it down from a scientific standpoint. He has a lot of videos where he talks about how muscle is developed, you know, how to do cardio, all sorts of things. Okay. Like, but it you
check
know
him
he,
out.
He talks like explains you know different studies and he backs up what he's talking about, right?
So James Linker.
James Linker, Shredded Sports Science. He's also absolutely fantastic. So those two guys I would highly recommend. There are other great guys out there. Obviously, Jeff Cavalier, Athlete X, has a lot of good information,
he's
a man, right?
I know him.
Lots of really good stuff. Face polls.
I know him personally.
Yeah, you know him personally, right? Yeah, he lives in Connecticut. He's actually not that far. Face polls, by the way, are really good. Especially for
telling about
face
polls
are really big, yeah. Okay. So he can also follow too. And then some of the other guys are like Jeff Nippert, a lot of guys out there who are really good, but they tend to be a little bit more specific on bodybuilding. And what I like about Coach Greg's information is that it's kind of general fitness, nutrition, stuff that's applicable for everyone.
You know
right?
who I like? Your who? Boy, Thor.
Thor?
The one they call Thor.
Oh, you talk about Kenneth J.
Yes.
Yeah, see, I would recommend Kenneth J, except he doesn't have a YouTube channel. Hint, hint.
Oh, no, Ken.
Yeah, you know,
come on,
so,
Thor. Well, he's Thor. He doesn't need it, right?
He doesn't need it, right? He can pick up the hammer. He can pick up the hammer. What do you need a YouTube channel for, right?
He's old school. He keeps it old school.
Yeah, well that's also one of, I suppose, one of the slightly disappointing facts I've learned in my YouTube channels. Mm-hmm. I had an interview with him a year ago. I did an interview with him on this channel. And he talked about, you know, cardiovascular conditioning, strength training, how he helps Nicholas Dalby, who's a current roster UFC fighter, do his strength conditioning. And that is... I think we haven't even broken 1,000 views on that video. And that video is over a year old, right? That video is chock full of information from someone who, unlike me, is an actual expert in fitness and conditioning, right? So if you guys have not seen that one yet, I'll put a link below for that one. Go ahead and watch it. The dude's amazing. See if you can convince him to have a YouTube channel. Because first of all, he is like a never-ending well of fitness and... dieting and cardiovascular health, and he's also a doctor. Yeah. And it's sports physiology or something. And he focuses on the brain and neurology and the link to physical activity. It's amazing the stuff that he does.
Wow.
He's one of the most fascinating people you could ever talk to, and I feel he doesn't put himself out there enough. Hint, hint. All right. Definitely, that'd be amazing if he had a YouTube channel. I would definitely subscribe to that. So my fourth tip is cardio, and I know a lot of Wing Chun people are like, "I don't need cardio because I have such an efficient straight punch. My Tan Cell punch is so efficient that I don't need anything else." Right? And it's like, okay, let's pretend that's true. The most important muscle in the human body is the heart.
Yeah.
If that one gives out...
Shout out to the heart.
All right? Shout out to the heart. If that one gives out, you're going to die, right?
Yeah.
You know, I think Norm Macdonald once did a bit where he was like, you know, your heart, that's the only... You get a heart attack. That means that thing is like literally waiting to kill you the whole time, right? And so it's like, if there's anything in your body that's like waiting for its moment, it's your heart. It's going to try to kill you, right?
It's your heart.
So again, the problem is people go, oh, I don't need to have cardiovascular conditioning for Wing Chun. Okay, one punch Francis Ngannou Wing Chun knockout dude.
Yeah.
Let's pretend you are the Francis Ngannou of Wing Chun. Okay? All right? Do it then.
Scary.
Because your heart needs to be in shape.
Yeah.
All right? I can't tell you how many people are like, oh, yeah, like I'm in shape. They come to 1024 6th Avenue, which is here, City Wing Chun, of right. which we're on the fourth floor, and there is no elevator. And they're like, yeah, I'm totally in shape. I do CrossFit. You do what?
I'm here for an intro lesson.
I'm here for my class, right? I'll tell you something funny, all right? I'm not going to say who this person is. Let's call this person.
I know this person really well, don't I?
You might know this all person. Right. Let's call this person Mr. Prince, okay? All right? So Mr. Prince came contacted me. Mr. Prince is, let's say, a low-level celebrity, all right? Let's say he has been on TV and movies and
he's already
been
know
in tours
who it is.
And stuff, all right? Okay?
Already know.
We'll call him Mr. Prince.
All right.
All right? He's
dated some people,
he's like,
too.
I want to do Wing Chun. I'm in shape.
Yeah.
Whatever. I want to come and, you know, see if Alex, I want to do your program. This is many, many years ago. Okay, all right, no problem. Come and do an intro lesson. I had him do an intro lesson with one of my assistants, right?
Okay.
He does the intro lesson at that time. It was kind of a brief intro, you know, take a look at the school, run them through a little basic Wing Chun class, and do a little workout at the end so see how they feel, right? 30 minutes tops. But probably the actual training is about 20 minutes in the intro class, right? After 5 minutes, he was like, he was totally out of breath. He's like, I can't do anymore. Mm. Ends up not joining, all right? Although I'm actually friends with the guy outside, right? He ends up not joining, right? And it was funny because he was like talking about like how in shape he was and stuff. So you have to imagine my surprise when 2 months later, I turned the TV on. And I'm watching a major U.S. network station, like ABC, NBC, CBS.
Wow.
I'm not going to say what it is. And it's the morning show. So it's the one that goes, it's not the local affiliate. It's like the one that is, you know, distributed all over the U.S., right?
Nationally,
wow. Right?
Like Good Morning America.
Yes, something like that, right? And he is pitching his fitness program. And he's there with the, you know, with the headphones with
what?
The mic, and he's there, and he's got like a bunch of like very attractive models behind him, and he's doing this thing, and he's like, this fitness program is based on Chinese martial arts and fitness, and homeboy didn't last 5 minutes in our intro lesson. 2 months later, he's on a nationally syndicated morning show.
Yeah.
Pitching this thing, which he later sold to a major gym franchise in the U.S. and ended up making a bunch of money from it.
Good for him.
Right? And then so I go like, wow, like the whole perception of like fitness influencers and influencers and fit and what actual fitness is.
Wow.
This is cap. Now, mind you, fitness is contextual. All right. I've had people who run marathons. I can't run a marathon. I can't even run a half. I can't even walk a half marathon. Okay. All right. I can row like a maniac. Right. Running?
I hate running,
man. Hate run running. Two blocks and my knees are like, why are you doing this?
Yeah.
Why are you doing this?
Hate running.
You're 40-something years old. Why are you doing this to us?
Yeah.
All right? Why don't you use a rowing machine, use a bike,
love rowing,
get a hardcore workout and not wreck my joints in the meantime,
I can
right?
row for days.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I'd like to see that.
Yeah, no.
Me too.
I'm just kidding.
Right? And so, you know, fitness is contextual, right? So I've had people come to the school who are like legit marathon runners.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Like they can run a marathon, which I certainly cannot. And I put them through like my heavy bag routine. And after 5 minutes, they're out of breath because there's a difference between aerobic and anaerobic conditioning, right?
I love that heavy bag routine.
So like
too.
To be fair, right? I mean, like you could be really fit in one type of workout or you're able to do something and you move a little bit out of that wheelhouse and you feel like an absolute beginner, right? Someone who is a kickboxer might be out of breath doing a boxing routine where they're only using their arms. And so, I mean, it's not the same. Like if you're fit in one thing, you're fit in everything,
yes,
right?
You have to
have a couple general markers for fitness, and then you have to have some specific markers in your sport, meaning that can you get through a Wing Chun class with your physical conditioning, qi sao, sparring without being winded? That's the fitness you need for that,
right?
So
my dude was good at that Good Morning America thing. But when it came to the intro, the Wing Chun intro, he was winded. He was all new movements.
He was
movements.
Out of it. He was all Whack Arnold's on the conditioning, right?
Couldn't get through.
Yeah.
All right, makes sense.
So my tip number four is cardio, right? Yeah. And my cardio recommendation comes straight out of Coach Greg's recommendation, which is 150 minutes a week. Mm-hmm. Now, if you've never done any cardio, you can be like, 150 minutes? That's crazy. But if you think about it, it's 30 minutes a day, 5 days a week. All right?
Yeah.
Now, that still probably sounds like a lot for some people. So if you've never done cardio before, I'd scale up to it a little bit.
You know,
but it's really not that much.
Honestly, I go to the gym sometimes. Well, sometimes. And
the gym up here, the Genius Gym.
Genius Gym. I got the home gym too.
Right.
Well, not the home gym, but the building gym.
Right.
And there be people on the treadmill for an hour,
that's crazy.
Hour and a half.
Crazy.
It's the most boring thing in the world.
Like, absolutely. I'll go in the gym, do an hour workout. And they've been there before me and still going. And I'm like, why
crazy,
do you do that
crazy.
So long?
Go cardio. 30 minutes.
Yeah.
30 minutes at a moderate pace. You don't have to go full hardcore. You don't have to do HIIT. It's too exhausting. But you don't want to go too granny either. 30 minutes, nice steady pace. You do that 5 times a week. One, it's going to be real much easier to keep the weight off.
Mm-hmm.
And you're also going to have a baseline of conditioning where you're going to find like you hit the heavy bag or you spar. And the one thing about cardiovascular conditioning, obviously you have aerobic and anaerobic. When we have those bursts, like when you're in a fight and you're mm-hmm. punching and you're putting everything into it, that's really anaerobic, you know, hill sprints, that's anaerobic, right? And sometimes mm-hmm. for the longest time, I thought, oh, in Wing Chun, we only need anaerobic training.
Okay.
Because whenever you spar really hard, you're basically in an anaerobic state really, really hard. Because
explosive.
In Wing Chun, we're not going back and forth. It's like you go from zero, the guy suddenly attacks you, and then you got to go, right? And so I was like, I only need anaerobic conditioning. But one thing that you learn by doing regular cardio is as you develop normal aerobic conditioning allows you to recover faster from bouts of anaerobic sprints and spurts, right? So like if you have good like steady state 30-minute cardio like that you do regularly and you go all out and then you take a short break, you'll be able to recover much more quickly mm-hmm. than if you just do like the high intensity stuff and you don't have any kind of steady state in there. That aerobic thing, that comes from Coach Greg, and that works out fine. And that's basically what I'm doing now that I can't do any strength training. I can't do any martial arts training because I'm recouping from my shoulder surgery. So I'm hitting the Airdyne. I wish I could use the rower, but can't.
Mm-hmm.
I'm using the Airdyne bike 30 minutes a day, and my weight is staying nice and steady.
I use this bike sometimes at the gym with the – got a game.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, and you're trying to get these, like, things, the coins. You're
yeah.
like chasing after coins, like well, Mario
so
Brothers
like
and
Sonic
shit.
To the Hedgehog.
Yeah, pretty much, and the
well,
shit is so fun.
Gamifying
10 minutes
it,
goes by fast.
Yeah, gamifying it makes it, like, really great. At home, I got my bike. Here at the school, at the
you
Genius
game
Gym, I got the – we got the rowing machine here, but at home, no, I don't. But I have a TV with like a Fire Stick.
Okay.
So that's when I catch up on like my YouTube stuff and, you know, all those kind of things, right?
So, sweet deal.
Which brings me to the fifth tip, right? Which is like, okay, so we've discussed like, obviously you have like some kind of morning routine, have some kind of fitness training. Obviously you want to have cardio. And the other, I should say the last, maybe the most important of all the tips is you have to take care of the machine, right? Because one thing, especially as you get older, you can't just be going like
this is
hard.
Usually my problem, yeah.
Yeah, you can't just be going hardcore all the time, right? Because you need to give your body time to rest. You need to give your body time to recruit. Now, mind you, in my opinion, most kung fu people rest a little bit too much. And they could go a little harder, in my opinion, right? But one of the things that really was a big game changer for me was I listened to an episode of Joe Rogan a few years ago. Where he had a guest, his name was Matthew Walker, and he's like a sleep expert. And he wrote a book called Why We Sleep, which I've since read. And he talked about just how important sleep is, which is like when the Kung Fu Genius said sleep is important. Well, that's a huge revelation. But like everyone knows that, but everyone kind of takes it as like, oh, you should eat your greens. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And they still don't do it anyway. But it's like, no, if you don't get like 6 to 8 hours of sleep a night, you're getting less than that. For men, all right, just to put into perspective, for every hour under, I believe it's under 6 hours that mm-hmm. you get, your testosterone level for that day is of a person 10 years older than you are. So let's say you're 40 years old and you don't get your 6 hours, you get 5 hours. You got the T level of a 50-year-old. But here's the thing. Let's say you only got 4 hours of sleep.
Wow.
Okay? Now you have the T level at 40 of a 60-year-old.
This explains an awful lot.
Yes. All right?
Yeah, I try to and average out about 6 to 7 hours.
Yeah, and the problem is that the testosterone level is not just for, you know, your ability to grow muscle or your ability to, you know, do boom boom or whatever, right?
Boom boom.
Right.
What's that?
Huh?
Boom boom?
I'll explain it to you after the podcast, all right?
Yeah, when you're older.
I think it's time to have that talk with him, right?
I think so.
Oh, but also for your ability to heal and, you know, get through injuries much, much more quickly, right?
Okay.
So, you know, I always like slept pretty decently, but after reading that book, you know, and also like if you don't get enough sleep, you have suboptimal sleep for a few hours, 5 hours, 4 hours, the chance that you start getting like cognitive decline as you get older, it's almost a straight line that you will 100% have some kind of cognitive decline if most of your sleep is suboptimal for many, many years. There's actually, it's not like maybe. It's like if you are someone like, oh, I only get 4 hours of sleep a night, bro.
Yeah, I'm proud.
Okay, come to me when you're older. All right, and we'll see. All right. That book and that episode of Joe Rogan with Matthew Walker scared the living piss out of me.
Yeah.
So now I get 7 hours minimum of sleep a night, non-negotiable.
Ooh,
all right.
I like that.
And it's made all the difference in the world in terms of my ability to like heal and everything. Yeah, I actually had my testosterone checked a bit ago, and I was very proud. I was like, hey, not too bad, not too bad, right?
Shit works.
Yeah, absolutely. So those are kind of my five basic tips. Now, if you take any one of those, I'm sure that it's going to improve your game. A couple things on like martial arts related stuff. There's another channel, which is good, like for our, let's say our more hardcore viewers, and everyone views themselves as being hardcore. There's a YouTube channel called The Bioneer, and The Bioneer, he does a lot of strength and fitness training, and he also goes into some of Bruce Lee's training.
He's like a bionic pioneer.
Yeah, exactly.
Shit.
And he does stuff like how Batman would train and then puts himself through those regimens.
Is it Bruce Wayne that
does
the comments?
And he does how Bruce Lee trains, and he discusses that. He discusses things that are often not talked about, like tendon training and ligament strength. And his channel is absolutely fantastic.
Okay.
And it gave me the idea to get John Little back on here, because John Little, before he got into all the Bruce Lee stuff, wrote for the Strength and Conditioning magazines. Yeah, and he's I believe, he's written books on strength and bodybuilding. So he's an absolute expert on that. And of course, working for the Lee Estate, he had access to all of Bruce Lee's daytimers and training notes and all that kind of stuff. And he wrote the book, Art of Expressing the Human Body, where he basically put all of Bruce Lee's training routines into a book, which we actually have upstairs for anyone who uses the Genius Gym. You can open up and do any of Bruce Lee's routines, right?
Shout out to Jay Litt.
Absolutely. You could have called him Jay Litt now, right?
Jay Litt.
So I want to have him back on and just discuss Bruce Lee's strength training routines from the guy who actually looked at the notes and how that evolved over time, because there's also a lot of BS out there. But The Bioneer is really, really good. I can recommend him. And those are a couple pages which I think are really fantastic.
Dope.
For me, I just really wish that, you know, some kung fu styles really focus on strength and conditioning, right? Some of the harder styles, Hong Kun, they have a lot of emphasis on bridge hands and having a strong stance. Wing Chun, I think, because it's a style supposedly used for women, and because you're not supposed to use brute strength against your opponent or whatever, which we've talked about that trope before. I think there's too much emphasis on you can be lazy and not train hard and be good at Wing Chun, which is absolutely not true. If you really want to have the ability to fight someone who's bigger and stronger than you, not only are you going to have technical skills above your opponent, but you're going to have to be in shape. I don't care what anyone says, all right? Yes, there's someone out there who's been doing Wing Chun for 50 years. They're not in particularly good shape, but they have so much experience. No one can push them. They're so good at everything. But I guarantee you, that person would still be better if they were also in shape.
Yeah.
All right? So I think we need to stop dealing with this tired argument of you can be lazy and out of shape and be awesome in Wing Chun, right? Especially here in the States. I think that trope has been used far too often. Because if you look at all the people who are really notable within the Wing Chun style, These were not people who are particularly out of shape, at least not in their prime. All right. If you look at Wong Sun Leung, when he was in his fighting prime, yeah, he was not an overweight, out of shape Chinese dude. Like no. he was relatively fit. Look at Bruce Lee. All right. Yip Man was relatively in shape. There was one period in his life where he had gained a little bit of weight. Mm-hmm. And there are a couple photos of they call the fat Yip Man.
Yeah.
But that was only for a very short time. He just had a little bit of a wild. He just had a little bit of a pot belly, right? But if you look at, like, you know, the people who made a name in Wing Chun, especially as fighters, mm-hmm. William Chung, and these guys, people were in shape. They had the skills and they were also in shape. Now, that doesn't mean you have to be in shape for the rest of your life and be a fighter for your entire life. But, like, if you want to get to a point where you feel like you're starting to get good, probably a good idea to also be in shape.
Yeah, well, it makes me think of Sammo Hung.
Yes.
Your man was in incredible shape, even though he was robust or shapely.
Exactly. But also what people don't realize
is backflips all day.
The absolute severity of the training that he had when he was a child, right? The Chinese have a saying, which is that if you don't train hard when you're young, you'll have nothing when you're old, all right? And some of Sifu Leung Ting's American head students are the poster boys for that. They have not trained hard in their youth, and you can see in their old age, because there's always like people like these old masters. You look at them, they're not in the same shape they were in when they were younger.
Yeah.
They're not physically fit anymore. They're not at their peak. But you could tell when you train with them, or you could tell by the way they move, you go, oh man, this dude, or when they were younger, you could tell they were a banger. You could tell because they still have that aura. But you can also tell there's some people that are masters in their old age, and you go, nah, I'm pretty sure that guy was never good. Right? You can tell by looking at them because they don't have that aura. Right. Mm. And you see that with some, and those are all the people like, oh, you don't need to be shape in Wing Chun to be good at Wing Chun. You look at their students and they're examples of that, right? And they're robbing their younger students the chance of benefiting from their great experience, but also being in shape, right? So I think people need to be in shape. The fact that I need to say this to Kung Fu people in the 21st century, I feel is a little sad, right?
Yeah,
you don't need to be like in MMA fighter shape, but you know, in shape, flexible, able to move, you know. These are good things. These are not bad things.
Just be ready to fight if you have to get into a fight.
The fact that we don't kick higher than the waist doesn't mean that the highest kick you can throw should be waist high.
Okay.
Okay? Because if your highest kick is waist high, I have a feeling it's not going to be very powerful at waist high. If you want to be able to kick at waist level without any impingement, you have to actually be able to kick higher. So that waist level kick is completely free of impingement.
Nose high kick.
If the waist level is the limit of your flexibility, that's the absolute highest you can kick, it's not going to be a powerful kick. Your knee kick will be okay, but not your waist kick, all right? So this whole idea of Wing Chun kicks don't go past the waist, but make sure you can kick past the waist so that your waist level kick doesn't suck, all right? That's all I got to say about that. So all Wing Chun practitioners out there, what kind of things do you do for strength and physical fitness training? Let me know in the comments below. And if you haven't done so yet, give a listen to my interview with Dr. Kenneth Jay, which I did about a year ago. It's on this channel. The link is below. And I'll see you guys next time. Word is I'm a kung fu genius. Technique speaks for me, not lineage. Forget Jet Li, cause I'm the one. Many call me Sifu, but to you I'm Seekung. And I produce masters, you surpassed us. Your kung fu stiffer than corpse and caskets. City Wing Chun is the house I built. Violate the gate and your blood gets spilt. Alex Richter, always the... Alright, and now Dre's gonna f*** this up.
Fitness and conditioning.
Wing Chun kung fu.
Alright,
he's getting better, though. I feel like he's slowly getting better.
Slowly but surely not.
Yes.
All right, peoples!
Stop trying to make bloopers.
I'm not even trying to...
No, I get it. I get it.
No, there's
you feel
nothing...
like you got like a thing to uphold. I get it. Because you're getting better, and that's starting to give you stress. Like, oh man, I can really do this in one take, but is he going to be pissed because the bloopers is kind of like part of every episode?
When I read it
earlier... So now you're definitely making bloopers.
You know what's funny?
I don't know.
Bruce Almighty, where he's messing with...
Steve Carell. Yeah, I know the scene.
That scene.
I also know the scene where you finish the intro one time.
Oh! lots of wall bag in it.
Oh no! It's like
it's like he knew it but didn't know it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. That's the art of it's the art of knowing without knowing.
This is why we must have bloopers, because you guys, I bring out the best in you.
No, we must have bloopers because you can't get it right. We literally must have bloopers.
This is
I spent a year here one afternoon.
But I'll get bulky and stiff if I lift weights! But I'll get bulky and stiff if I lift weights.
Yeah. Meanwhile, at his age, he'd be happy to get bulky and stiff.
Man, I was about to nail that
one. Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure.
Yeah.
$100 $100 he doesn't nail this one.
I'm not taking that bet.
Lots of, but I'll get all spooky and stiff.
Thanks very much.
If I lift weights. Health and fitness and loveliness and jumping and grappling and snapping necks. Pai-jongs.
Pai-jongs?
What?
It's like hacking wooden stakes.
Lots of gems. Lots of conditioning, lots of fitness, lots of health, lots of this, lots of Chuck Norris, lots of bullshit.
Lots of Norrisy.
Norrisay.
Norrisay.
Norrisy.
What's Norrisay?
It's not Morrissey?
No, it is.
Now,